You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Troy Meeks with American Security Mortgage. Troy, let's get right into it. How is the mortgage outlook right now?
Well, first, thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate being here. 2018 has been an interesting year in the mortgage industry. We started the year continuing the trend of recent years with really low interest rates. We had a healthy amount of buyers in the marketplace, but a lower amount of quality inventory available. So demand, as you guys know, probably outpaced supply. Mortgage rates will typically move the same direction as the economy. So by the third quarter of this year, with the national economy humming along, we saw a spike in rates, leading to headlines that you may have read. Mortgage interest rates are the highest they've been in 7 years. And while that was true, historically, we're still in a very low rate environment. And it's a great time to be out looking to buy a home.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about the conforming increases that recently took place with mortgages.
So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the two government-sponsored entities that set the loan limits for conventional conforming loans. And for 2018, that was $453,100. They recently announced that that's going to be moving up to $484,300 or $484,350 for the coming year. And so that's just going to make affordable conventional mortgage rates available to a little bit higher purchase price borrower now.
Well, that's good news. What are you or what are we expecting with regard to mortgages in 2019?
So for 2019, we still expect rates to be favorable for buying real estate. The economic forecast is still strong, so it wouldn't surprise me if rates were in a range next year from where we are right now to as much as about a half of a percent higher. There's always going to be some volatility, but we don't expect to see rates move higher in a straight line. Generally, good economic news will pressure rates higher, and bad news will be good for interest rates.
So we're not hoping for bad news, but anybody looking to buy real estate might favor that last response. No, Troy, we appreciate your expertise in the mortgage arena and certainly everything talking about mortgages, and that relates to real estate in the obvious sense that, gosh, if you can't afford something and have a loan, unless you're going to be the cash, 100% of the cash, that's the advantage of working with a professional like yourself and going through the process. You know, oftentimes we run into contingent buyers that really want to move up. They're selling a house to buy another. We traditionally think of selling the home, that current house they're in, using the money for a down payment on another one. Is that still the case, or what are you seeing?
So when a client isn't going to have their net proceeds to use for down payment, we can look at alternatives. And some examples of those would be other cash assets that they might have available, a gift from a family member, or even maybe using a home equity line of credit so they would borrow the down payment on the new place.
And so can they make an offer on the new house before selling the old one? How exactly does that work?
Certainly. Yes, they can make an offer before selling, but we would want to make sure that they are pre-approved to do so. To determine that, we would look at their income relative to their debts, but we would be including the mortgage payment on the home that they're not selling.
Understood. So let me ask you this, just to shift gears a little bit. Is renting for a while a good idea between homes? And how will that affect the money that you have available for a new mortgage?
Great question. I mean, renting can be good if you're out searching for a home and you haven't found the one that you want to buy yet. However, rent payments can be as much or more than mortgage payments.
Yes, definitely. We're seeing that.
And so, maybe you have a risk there of having less money available when you are back into the market to buy.
So we're now 10 years past the Great Recession and the damage to the real estate and the mortgage business that went with it. If you could go back 10 years and do anything different in the mortgage business, what would it be?
Certainly, there were a lot of things that contributed to the mortgage meltdown from 07 and 08. But if I wanted to look at one thing that I would change, I would probably say how prevalent and how available the exotic mortgage programs were. And some of the examples of that would be your reduced documentation loans. Specifically that at the easiest end, there was a no income verification. So you could just really state your income, and it really didn't even need to be typical for that job. There was a very prevalent story from a housekeeper in California who put she made $50,000 a month in order to buy a house, $650,000, with 100% financing. And so that article made the rounds in 08, 09. But so no income verification, the reduced documentation stuff where you really just got to state income, state your assets. And then they even went so far as to not even putting down that you were employed. So there was really no verification of some of those. And then there were some products that were really good financially out there. And think of the interest-only option that were on mortgage products back then. That wasn't, you know, a loan in and of itself. It was a feature that you would put on any loan. You could put it on a conforming 30-year fixed. You could put it on a 5-year ARM and add interest-only to it. That is a great product when used fiscally responsibly by the borrowers that it was meant for. And it was meant for your self-employed borrowers that have variable income, maybe people that have large bonuses. You know, we have a lot of bankers in Charlotte, and they get bonuses in February and March. So maybe they want to make an interest-only payment for 11 months of the year and then make the principal contribution once a year. And that's a great program, but it got widely abused. And, you know, so that's some of the things I would change. A little bit more underwriting, appropriate underwriting of the risk, and pricing of that risk. And we see that in the marketplace today. With the, you know, those products aren't there anymore, but what we do see is a better underwriting and assessment of the risk. And when there is some risk on the file, lower credit scores, lower reserves, we are seeing that the interest rates are higher. So it's appropriately now being paid for, if you will, by, you know, in the market.
And a part of going back to what we saw, some of these you know, if you could fog a mirror, you could get a loan, you know, back in the day. Those have since dried up, fortunately, for all of us. But the cash out refinances were also very prevalent during that time. I remember the common phrase was using your house as an ATM. How many cash out refinances are you seeing today as opposed to back then?
Great question. People that know me know I'm a very data-driven and analytical person. So I have, for the 18 years I've been in the mortgage business, I can tell you what the percentages I've done of purchase loans, what percentage I've done of refinances, cash out refinances, et cetera. And so I will say certainly over the past year, 15% of my business has been refinance, 85% has been purchase. So we're certainly seeing refinances as a overall piece of the pie a lot smaller than it was back in 04, 05, 06. So for people that are doing refinances today, they're not doing it necessarily to reduce their rate or reduce the term of the loan, but they are taking advantage of the price appreciation that we've seen. And so they're tapping into equity of their house for either home improvements because they're going to stay put. Some people are consolidating other debts that they have built up. Some people are tapping into equity to pay for college tuition.
Those are good. Those are all good reasons, valid reasons, you know, in general. I can totally understand that. So if Troy, when one of our clients reaches out and says, hey, I'm looking, you know, looking to figure out what I need to do to apply for a mortgage, what information should we tell them to be prepared with?
Super question. And we wished all real estate agents would at least give a little heads up to the client. And essentially, for us to begin the process, we're going to get full name, date of birth, social security number, and your current address. To go a step further beyond that, we're going to ask about your employment and your income. Then we're going to talk about the assets that you might have available to use for down payment and closing cost. And then we'll see if you're going to if you're going to ask or have an idea of what price range you want to be in. And so the feedback then that you give me for what price range you want to be in, I'll start putting together numbers to see if they're going to be eligible.
And you service jumbo loans, conventional, VA, USDA, FHA, the whole suite.
Correct. We do have a complement of all of those, from all the government loans, jumbo loans up to $3 million. And we also do, you know, $75,000 primary residence purchases. So we run the whole gamut.
Anything and everything.
That's correct.
Very good. So, Troy, talk to us a little bit about the process. I know the process, but I want our listeners to hear. So when a home buyer that might be listening to this podcast they might be curious to learn more about what you can do for them in procuring a mortgage loan for a purchase. What's the best way for them to contact you?
So we like to meet them wherever they would like to be met. And that could be that they want to meet in person. They don't have time for that, so they want to do a phone call. Maybe they don't have time for a phone call during normal business hours, and they want to be, you know, that, hey, I can connect with you at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And so if we're not available for a phone call after hours, we do have the use of technology. We have a great online application now that we've rolled out in 2018. And so people can very seamlessly provide the initial basic information to me in a manner of ways that would allow us to start the pre-approval process.
That's very good. And I like it that you're touching on the fact that you'll make yourself available in person if they need that. I can tell you that's huge for us being realtors in the community. When we're dealing with clients that you know, we've experienced some situations where they might have been pre-approved by a large institutional lender, where there wasn't someone here locally that they could really sit down with face-to-face and get their questions answered, dealing with someone in either California or Texas remotely. It just adds an additional challenge to the whole process. So I find that when my clients, with those that are working with Troy, they seem to be more, they understand the process better. There's less unknowns because Troy has always done a good job at explaining what they should expect from beginning to end. So thank you for that, Troy.
So we certainly appreciate the advance of technology and how that's allowed us to do our jobs more efficiently. But we still find that most consumers like that human interaction. And I think it goes the same for real estate agents, too. You might be able to go online to start your search and maybe find out what the inside of the house looks like or maybe the value or some of the stuff there. But you still want to go in the car with the agent out on the road to see that house. And I think the same thing is for the mortgage world, too. You want to be able to see, touch, and feel and talk to the person that's handling probably the largest financial transaction of your life. And you want to make sure that you're dealing with someone that, A, you want to work with, is knowledgeable, and is part of the community. And so we really have a vested interest in the community. We want to make sure that you have such a great experience, you're going to tell your friends and family about us. And we don't want to just be some nameless, faceless person in a cubicle Sure. in another state.
Yeah, and all that, plus you guys give fantastic rates, and you have really, really good products. So all the more reason, because you know you're going to get treated with a high level of customer service, and you're going to get a great deal. So, you know, that's really, you know, that's kind of the what people are looking for when they're trying to procure a mortgage. First, they look at cost, but to have the additional benefit of having someone that's going to create great, you know, create a fantastic experience. When typically the experience of procuring a mortgage is not often thought of as being pleasurable.
Well, thank you for that. And I'll tip my hat and give all credit to the owners of our company, Phil Mahoney, Bill Stokes, and Jim Abbott. They started the company back in 1999 and have made it sort of their focus to always have the most competitive rates in the marketplace, allowing us to know what the real price is and have all the products available to go out there and service, you know, the clients.
Very good. And what is the best way for folks to connect with you? I know you have a website. Do you want to share the website, your email?
So website is troymeeks.com. Email tmeeks@1asmc.com. And cell phone is always a great way to get me. I have it with me all the time. So text or call 704-905-5761.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining us today, Troy Meeks, with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Until next time, have a great day.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.